Hey everyone, this is Keith. You may know me as Jesus, and I'm sitting here with my guys. I got Spencer and David. You might know them as Mako and Spurgling. You're listening to Three Guys, One Up. Usually what we're doing in this show is going off on tangents, talking a bunch of shit to each other, talking about a bunch of different games, tech, gear, whatever is happening in the gaming world. And we end up going off on a lot of different stuff. But today's episode, I feel like we really had to get something out there that addresses a lot of these issues that we have going on around the world that do affect our gaming communities. And what we're going to be harping on a lot today is racism in gaming specifically. Just to let everybody know, we are three white dudes in our 30s. So we know that we probably aren't like the best ones to speak on every one of these topics, but we do see what's happening in the gaming community. We do hear, we're part of it, and it pisses me off. It enrages me every time I see someone being racist in gaming or gaming companies taking the wrong stance or whatever it is. And I feel like we got to take an episode to address some of what we've been seeing in our own communities. One of the first things I want to start off with was something we touched on a bit last week. We were talking about MTG Arena, but what we didn't get around to was talking about some of the cards that they are now issuing bans on, and they are no longer going to be printing these. I don't think they already are. A lot of them are from Legends and stuff like that, but I'll pass it over to either David or Spencer. They play a lot of Magic. They know a lot about these cards, and I kind of want to hear what they have to say about what Magic the Gathering is doing right now.
Yeah, so recently there was an announcement by Wizards of the Coast that came down basically banning. They started out with 7 cards throughout their history. I think almost all of them were printed within the first year or two of the game being released in 1994. 7 cards that they felt were racist or culturally offensive. The list real quick is Invoke Prejudice, Cleanse, Stone Throwing Devils, Pradesh Gypsies, Jihad, Imprison, and Crusade. I want to start with Invoke Prejudice, which I think is the most egregious example.
By a good long shot. I think this is the card that really everyone looks to in Magic. And whenever it comes up, it's kind of with a side eye, like, what the hell?
I mean, everything about it, too, from flavor text to the printing code to everything. Like, it's the worst one, obviously.
Right.
The other cards, I definitely can see as racially insensitive. This one is outright racist. There's no way to get around that.
Right. It feels to me like that that scene in that old movie Birth of a Nation, where, you know, the Klansmen are all kind of like coming out of the shadows. It depicts a bunch of shadowy figures clearly wearing hoods and robes, like the KKK. The one in the foreground is wielding an axe. The card is called Invoke Prejudice. Yeah, it's a pretty egregious example.
Even what it does is unlike any other card in Magic the Gathering. You know, the actual spell, what you do with it is kind of vague and open to interpretation even, and it just feels racist to its core because of the wording that it uses.
Right. And apparently I read an article a while back about the artist who actually painted the art as a man named Harold McNeil. The guy apparently has become a full-fledged Nazi. He has done a lot of art glorifying Nazi symbology. He's very clearly a racist, so it's not something that could be swept away as, you know, an accident or reading too much into it or anything like that. He's pretty much an avowed racist and avowed white nationalist now.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Like, it's so overtly racist. I'm looking at a picture of the card now. I feel like I have to read what this enchantment does, because I feel like we got to give our listeners a taste of kind of what why they're doing this and how just how terrible this card is. It's called Evoke Prejudice. It costs 4 blue mana. If an opponent casts a summon spell that does not match the color of one of the creatures under your control, that spell is countered unless the caster pays an additional X, where X is the casting cost of the summon spell. So, I mean, the wording is even so, it is so color-based and it is so fucked up that this card even came out. I don't even know the story about how they got this to print, honestly. This was in 1994.
I mean, I don't necessarily have the biggest problem with the effect that it does. Like, cleaning up the language in Oracle, it's a fine enough effect, but the art that goes along with it is completely unjustifiable here. You can definitely find different ways to express this in a fantasy magic setting.
Yeah, I think that was a problem with a lot of the early sets, like Arabian Nights and things like that, drew heavily on real life history, like more so than just, you know, this is the Spanish set or whatever. It's more like there's cards like Jihad. So that take actual
and Crusade
world history and incorporate it into the game without any kind of fantasy change.
Right, which are two other cards that are on the list, if you didn't catch that list.
Right, earlier. Exactly, yeah. And I don't want to say it's easy to see how this art got through, but being at the time they were an independent game company, they didn't really have much quality control. I still find it hard to believe that somebody didn't take a look at that and raise a red flag, but here we are.
Well, that, and at the time there wasn't the cohesive story behind it. There wasn't this clear direction for the game, so the cards were often not necessarily random, but in a way random, you know, that not necessarily having to do with the events on that plane that we were on at that set, you know.
Right. Yeah, so that's a pretty rough card, man.
It is, and I'm really glad that it is being issued a ban. I'm really glad they are addressing this. I feel like maybe it's a little too late, but at least it's getting done, you know.
Something I did want to point out, I think that simply for the reason that this card doesn't see a lot of play and it's not, I mean, a terribly sought after older card, I think banning it is really just going to, for this reason specifically, it's just going to make it that much more valuable, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I can see what you're saying. I did in my notes, I took down some of the lowest costs we were seeing and the highest costs we were seeing. And you got to take a lot of these prices with a grain of salt because people are putting them up on auctions and different sites and stuff. It doesn't, these prices don't necessarily mean they're selling for this exactly, but I guarantee you there's people out there buying it for quite a bit of money. The lowest price I could find on Invoke Prejudice was $23.74. These prices I found on MTG Goldfish. I'm sure you could find prices elsewhere that would say something different. And the highest price that this was going up for was $975. So yeah, I think as you're seeing these bans go out, and this is already a card that it's a card that was in Legends. I don't think it's been in print for a long time. But so it was already had some value, but now you put this name on it and it's going to increase in value, like you said, especially among certain circles, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I was taking a look at the MTG Goldfish page on it, and it's been a pretty stable price. It's been sitting around $230, $240 for almost all of this year, at least since the beginning of January. Even taking it further back, it's a fairly stable price point for it, anywhere between $200 and $400 over the past few years. It saw a very small spike with the announcement that it was being banned, which I'm sure was just a bunch of fucking trolls.
Yeah.
Trying to drive up the price to make them think they did something bad. It peaked at $276 on June 9th. And actually, I think after that, they stopped tracking it. It's entirely possible that they're not tracking this card anymore due to the ban. But as far as I can tell, it did not see a huge jump.
Yeah. Again, a lot of these cards are older cards. They haven't seen print in a very long time. So they're going to have a lot of cards that don't have these racist ties are from the same era are seeing some of those same prices as well. There's a lot of cards that, in Magic that are worth a whole lot of money. And it's simply because they just don't get printed anymore and it's harder to find them.
Right. So I decided to pull up eBay here to see completed listings in the past few days. And it's all pretty steady between, depending on the condition of the card, anywhere from $250 to $450. So I really don't think it saw a very huge spike, which is
nice. And as far as like the question of Magic as a fantasy game addressing the subject of racism, I don't have a problem with that. Racism is addressed often in fantasy settings. A lot of fantasy games that I've played have touched on this subject, but there are ways to talk about a sensitive subject in smart ways. And this isn't even an attempt at that. This was just being racist.
I do want to point out that almost all, if not all of the cards on this list, this banned list, are also on the reserve list, which is a list of cards that Magic has promised that they will never reprint in any form. So these cards are just going to stay, the supply of these cards is just going to keep dwindling over the years. The further out we go, the fewer there are going to be of them.
Yeah, let the remaining ones rot out. They're still just pieces of cardboard, so let them rot out and go away.
Yeah, there were a few of them that seemed a little iffier on the choices. Which one was I looking at here? Crusade. That was a card that, I don't know, I felt maybe wasn't as offensive, at least to me. And like I said, I don't speak for everybody, obviously. Anybody else feel that one is worthy of a ban? Or
that one, there were a few of the other cards that did feel a little knee-jerky. Crusade doesn't necessarily feel, other than the purely historical context of the Crusade being a really shitty time in history.
Yeah, but it's not even like directly referencing the Crusades. It's just Crusade.
It's just a Crusade.
Is it again the art? I don't know. Maybe I'm interpreting the art.
Right. Yeah, the card name is Crusade, and the effect is white creatures get +1/+1 global enchant.
Yeah.
But I kind of understand that taken as a whole, I could see how that would be an issue. Like the card Cleanse was destroy all black creatures. It's a white card, right? I understand when you take that as a whole, that could be offensive, absolutely. The colors, yeah.
The colors are different, you know.
It's not white.
There is black and there is white. It's
high romance,
necessarily a racial thing. The colors of the spells
intended in that way, but I think it's absolutely fair for someone to interpret it that way, even if it wasn't made with that intention.
Right, and I don't necessarily disagree with Magic wanting to make it very clear that that's not what they're going after. You know,
and they're distancing themselves from anything that could even possibly remotely be misconstrued or taken very overtly racist. So right. Yeah, I do get that. And I'm not saying bring Crusade back, bring Cleanse back. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I do agree with you that some of them were a little more on the cusp, on the edge of what could be actually taken as a racially charged card.
Right. Like Pradesh Gypsy. I get that. You know, Gypsies has been a pejorative most of the time that it's been a word. So I understand that. Absolutely. Imprison, the art on that is absolutely inexcusable. Cleanse, we talked about, is just the whole taken together is not a card that should have been printed.
Stone Throwing Devils threw me a little bit. One of the articles I read said it was a slur, but I am unfamiliar with that one.
I think it harkens back to the idea of like looters, rioters, things like that, being a black card. Art, I don't think, doesn't look to me, again, I'm just one person, but it doesn't look to me to carry any real racial connotations in the art. But again, yeah. I think you take the card as a whole, and it's on the safe side, probably a good thing to get rid of.
Yeah, and fair enough. And again, I don't know the exact, maybe they, within the company, have better reasons for this. That, like, they just gave us a list. They didn't give us a breakdown on each card as to this is why we're doing this. I think,
right.
You know, maybe they went around to a lot of their people and asked them, like, what are some of the more racist cards that we can get rid of? I really don't know what they're doing internally.
Right. And that's something we always have to remember, is that these companies are made up of people just like us, in the fact that, you know, a company is not some nebulous thing, right? It's made up of employees, and somebody had to make these decisions. So it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be fallible.
What's really encouraging is watching Wizards of the Coast step up to the plate and really nip this in the bud before they've got huge boycotts knocking down their door. And, you know, unlike other companies that we just keep seeing making the same stupid mistakes over and over and over again, Riot.
yeah, and we'll get to that in a minute.
And, you know, we mentioned another company. We didn't mention the company, but the game, Will Devil Inside, last week. The game hasn't even launched yet, and we're getting sort of racist criticism. Tones.
Yeah,
from them. It's like, come on, guys, this is not a very hard thing to do.
Right. On that note, there has been some criticism I've seen on Reddit, especially. Apparently, before this happened, pretty immediately before, Wizards was taking some fire for having a pretty significant underrepresentation of people of color in their game design, in their art department. Story, they've been doing a lot better over the past few years, but actually hiring people of color to work on their game in any facet, they were taking a lot of heat for being significantly underrepresentative. I did see some people kind of calling them out for this being kind of, not necessarily an empty gesture, but kind of like a Band-Aid on an axe wound, you know?
Are you talking about Wizards? I'm sorry.
I'm talking about Wizards, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I haven't read that. And yeah, that's interesting. I do have a bit more about that later in the episode as well. I've got a bunch of notes here, and one of them that we'll get to later, we'll probably touch on that. I do want to read their quote, the Wizards quote. They said, "The events of the past weeks and the ongoing conversation about how we can better support people of color have caused us to examine ourselves, our actions, and our inactions. We appreciate everyone helping us to recognize when we fall short. We should have been better, we can be better, and we will be better." Yeah, I think that's a great statement, but then you're coming at me with some of this, that even within the ranks of their employees, they're being discriminatory. That just kind of feels like hollow words, like you were saying. I feel like it's a great worded apology up until there's nothing being done about it other than banning a few cards.
You know? It's a good first step, but it seems like so often you hear these platitudes coming out in support of these social movements, and that's it. Like I don't care what you have to tell me. I want to see some real change. Like coming out and saying, you know, oh, we did bad, we're going to ban these cards, doesn't mean anything if you don't try to increase the representation in the people making your game, because you increase representation and you're going to make for a more well-rounded game overall.
Right. And that's a great segue into another one of my notes that I wanted to talk about. A lot of these companies are coming out and issuing statements. You know, you power up Call of Duty, if you haven't been on Call of Duty in a while, Modern Warfare, you power up a Ubisoft game, a Nintendo game, an Activision Blizzard game, and you're going to see a little blurb about their take on the Black Lives Matter movement, their stance on it. And it's really nice to see a lot of these companies saying some of these things, but that's all we've gotten, you know, from most of them anyway. There's a ton of companies out there saying a lot of these words, but what is actually happening to stop it?
You know, as far as Call of Duty goes, this has been a problem with them for a long time. And they used to be a lot better about when we could make our own emblems. That shit would get shut down fairly quickly. A couple reports and for some tits, for rather light stuff.
Some of them were, it was like, I remember getting one banned because it vaguely represented a cock. And, you know, so some of them got shut down for, I remember one I made just look like a cartoony piece of shit and it got shut down. So yeah, they were really on top of stopping a lot of that at the time.
it seems that they've given up on that, because now you get...
Especially... Uh-oh, did we lose him again?
No, I thought I lost you guys. Sorry. We were both like waiting for each other.
We're off to a great start here.
Oh, man.
Okay, well...
This stays in. Keep going. You can't edit a podcast, Keith. Keep moving.
So, I think what they used to do was a lot more against a lot of the, whether it was porn or anything, and that included the racism. But nowadays, you get on a Call of Duty game, and there's clan tags that are KKK, full-blown N-bombs just spelled out. Not even swastikas. Using creative characters. Yeah, swastikas. And I know they went through and they issued a bunch of bans after a lot of this current stuff started happening around the world. But you can get on there right now, and I guarantee you, if you did a search for names, clans, anything that included some racial slurs, you will find dozens of them, if not more. So you can issue this big ban wave and say you did something, but if you just stop doing something, you aren't doing anything.
Yeah, and I don't. It's not a hard problem to address. The community will report these assholes for you. So get a couple reports, somebody gets a ban. It takes, you know, half a second to put some eyes on it and be like, yep, that's some racist garbage, banned.
And I can't really speak to this personally for the current situation in Call of Duty, but just a few months ago, before this was blowing up around the States and the world, it was really difficult to find that report button to report someone. I mean, you could do it, and maybe they were a lot more worried about hackers and cheating and stuff like that. That was pretty easy to report, but like the racism, it was almost guaranteed that nothing was going to be done about that. You could report the same racist name over and over and over again for 3 weeks straight, and that guy's getting on every day and playing Call of Duty, not only with that racist shit in his name, but just yelling out expletives every time they get into a game. I can't tell you how many games I've gotten into where I just immediately hit the mute button because it's some kid or some guy or some girl or whatever just yelling out hard RM bombs over and over and over again because they think they're edgy or they're being trolls or whatever it is. And that's just fucking not right. It brings me to another point of how do you combat that? You play any online game these days with text chat, voice chat, anything? How do you stop that? Other than us as a player base, we have to be responsible for shaming the shit out of these people. We just have to stop it. We have to get them to stop.
Well, my worry is that's what they're hoping for. Like, it's that troll mentality, hoping for, they want the attention. They want some people just want to watch the world burn.
I hear you. That's why I automatically hit mute. I rarely waste my breath on these
people.
And
I think that's the best way to deal with them is you hit mute on the voice chatters being assholes and you hit report on anything else.
The problem is I think that kind of policing should be done by the game, right? But I think that there's this pervasive mentality that I feel has started to, and maybe it's been for a long time, but it started to seep over into gaming from the tech and social media companies, right? All these people are one big shared ecosystem. They bounce from company to company. But places like Facebook, like Reddit, like any social media network really, were founded by these... I read a book that called them techno-utopians, these people who believed that by democratizing information, that everyone would inherently be good, right? So the more information you have, the more information everyone has, the better society becomes as a whole. And they were that was their philosophy. And they were very driven by this idea of the marketplace of ideas, this libertarian view of any idea should be able to be expressed. And to me, that's bullshit. Like, these are positive, or these are private companies who can do what they want with the information on their sites. They don't have to allow hate speech. And yet, I think almost all of them, at some point or another, err on the side of caution in that, oh, well, it's just a swastika. or it's just, you know, an N-bomb. It's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not illegal. If it's not illegal, it's allowed,
when
right?
Did being an overt racist become this sort of sacrosanct protected idea? They're not putting forward any ideas. They're not putting forward anything conversation worthy. They're being corrosive to the society.
Yeah, it's a plague.
We can talk about like medical differences between demographics, but that's not what these people are getting at. Like that is not the lofty conversation that the shitbags on Call of Duty are striving for.
No, they're hiding behind what they, you know, their First Amendment protections, freedom of speech. They hide behind this lofty idea that everyone's been taught, you know, since they were in fucking elementary school, that, oh, this is what makes America great, is the fact that we have freedom of speech here, right? Which is great, but they take that idea and they run with it to the point where they think that all speech is protected from everyone, not just from the government, which is what it's intended to do. So they say, oh, well, you can't censor me because of freedom of speech. And you go, oh, well, freedom of speech is nice. It's one of the great things about being in this country. I guess you can go ahead and say it. So they start repeating this horrible, offensive shit over and over and over and over and over, to the point that you hear something horrific enough times and it starts to not feel so horrific anymore.
Yeah.
It's that whole idea of moving the Overton window.
I have plenty of friends that are people of color that play video games that just they brush over the racist sides of it because everybody else does too. Like maybe the first few times they played video games and heard these things being shouted at them and stuff like that, it hurt them, but the desensitization to some of this racist bullshit has become so strong in the gaming community that it's given more of a voice to these shitty people.
Well, I think that's because the only outlets we do have are spewing our own vile back at them or muting them, right? You can't jump through the TV screen and give them the ass kicking that they deserve. So yeah, exactly. You're left with those two other options, and those two other options,
you sure as shit can't leave them.
And those two other options do really nothing but give them exactly what they want.
Right. I've got some figures here from the Washington Post. Video games represent one of the most popular forms of entertainment in the United States, with 43% of U.S. adults playing often or sometimes, according to a 2018 Pew report, is what this article is saying. And that same report found that 90% of teenagers play video games. That's the youths of the United States. 90% of them are exposed to this, whether they are the ones saying these things and doing these things or having to sit there and listen to them and make this a part of their life. This is their form of entertainment. I can't say that all 90% of them are playing online multiplayer games where they are exposed to this, but many of them are. That's the gaming that we're used to these days. That's the craving you have as a gamer, is to get on and be competitive. Once you learn your sticks, learn your mouse movements, it's like, yeah, I'm going to get on and shine. I'm going to pop some headshots. Then you have people yelling at you, telling you that you're lowly scum, piece of shit, expletive, whatever. They're taking away this form of fun, and it's ruining a lot of experiences or desensitizing, like we were just saying.
And how many parents are sitting down with their kids after they hear shit like this in the chat section and saying, explaining these situations to their kids and just saying, look, racism exists. This is how you respond to it. This is what you need to do when you hear that. This is what you need to.
How do you respond? Right. I mean, that's what we were saying before, right? So what can you do?
I mean, my usual course
as a parent,
not even as a parent, just as a player. Yeah, yeah. What's your usual course of action?
Spewing maybe the most vile shit I can back at those limp dick pieces of shit.
Yeah, and I know plenty of people that do that as well. Like I said, my gut reaction is to hammer on the mute button and never listen to that again. But I know plenty of people that end up just vomiting all the worst things you can say back at them. And that's, you know, I don't think either way fixes the situation. It just is more what flavor of a time you want to have playing this game, I guess.
Yeah. I'm a spiteful person and I enjoy a little bit of schadenfreude, even if I have to convince myself that I'm hurting them.
Yeah, and I'll throw out another figure here. This is saying that 2/3 of gamers, which have been harassed, in total of those, 65% have experienced severe harassment, which includes physical threats, stalking, or sustained harassment. You know, in today's age of the internet, finding somebody's information, it can be pretty easy for a lot of these tech-savvy people. So I've read horror stories of people that are playing their game very well, and all of a sudden they're having these direct messages sent to them that have their phone number, their address, their mom's phone number. That's terrifying. That is fucking terrifying. This goes beyond just the words sometimes, and this goes straight into harassment. I mean, how do you stop that? How does this one person, this one 16-year-old kid that just won a game of Fortnite, that is now being berated with racism and threats to his life and his family's life?
Yeah, and I think that's where the companies have to step in. I think it's ridiculous that they have this limited response to it.
It has to be on the companies.
If you really want to smash this down, you need to have people taking game, you know, companies taking a hardline stance on stuff like this. Because if you take away their form of entertainment so much, and you tell them, oh, you're not allowed to play this fucking game that you love so much because you're a terrible troll, and you do that over and over and over, at the very least, people aren't going to be harassed. They're not going to be victims of this anymore.
Even if the people have these beliefs, they will keep their fucking mouths shut.
I mean,
is the hope.
If they learn a lesson,
that is the hope.
If they learn a lesson, that's cool.
Let's back in the fucking shadows. You might not get rid of them altogether, but there's no reason that they should be allowed to fucking be out in the daylight with us.
A quarter for racist garbage. Sexist garbage as well. There's been plenty of times where I've been in a room playing with somebody with clearly female voice, and people just start yelling shit like, show me your tits. And it's like, what the fuck is even wrong with you, you idiot?
Man, I feel terrible for girl gamers a lot of the time. Unless they're playing with a group of their homies, they're also being flamed by their own team, by the enemy team. It's a terrible thing.
It's bullshit, yeah, man.
Messed up.
One positive before we move on, because that will be a good segue, the sexism into another thing I wanted to discuss. But before we do move on, we're saying all these things about these companies that are issuing statements and stuff, but actually aren't taking a step in the right direction with more bans, more strict rules. There was this one shining light that I saw when I got on Discord a handful of days ago, and they had this whole layout of how they wanted to combat the racism, not just within gaming, but within their own workplace. Like they've made a task force to identify and implement actions that they can take to provide their consumers with the right product, with the right policies. They're trying to make their own company more diverse. They want to be as inclusive as they can for everybody out there. They have three bullet points. They want to combat hate on Discord. They want to use their reach and scale to promote justice and stand for the hate, not just within themselves, but across the board. You know, a lot of people use Discord. They do have a big reach. They can do a lot with their platform to help people out. And the last one, they want to be able, as employers, to train, hire, and retain the underrepresented people. And I think they're putting forth a plan. They didn't just come out and issue a statement like, we stand with Black Lives Matter, we stand against racism and sexism and all this. They're actually taking action, putting forth a well thought out, well planned out plan for us that we can see. And they laid it all out there for us. I think that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Call me a skeptic, but I would much prefer to hear some more detailed bullet points on what it is they're planning on doing.
Oh, go read the page.
I've read it. Yeah, and task force just feels to me like, I don't know, it feels like a corporate buzzword, but
maybe so.
Like I said, call it the skeptic in me, but I do want to see more. Like, you're gonna plan to train, hire, retain underrepresented people. Okay, well, tell me when you have some stats on what you've done. Like,
yeah, well, and I call me an optimist, but I think they will deliver on that. You know,
this is why we work so well together.
I really think that Discord will pull through it, and they will deliver on some of that. I've used Discord for a long time, and I think they are one of the good guys, and maybe I'm wrong, and you're right, and they are just throwing out those buzzwords, and I'm excited to see the future of
yeah, what well, they absolutely. Do bring us. Don't get me wrong. That's not like I'm saying, oh, don't try anything, because
I understand.
Yeah. I'm critical of all of it, but you know, I just want to make sure that we as a group hold these companies' feet to the fire and say, you promise this, now produce.
Yeah, deliver exactly what you said, and then some. And right. And then, yeah, and I can agree with you. I am on the Discord side. I'm leaning a little more optimistic and maybe hopeful. Maybe it is a blind hope, just because I do like their company so much.
Sure, no, absolutely. And like I said, they're great. I don't know if there's been much movement from them. I know that a lot of these, you know, far right groups have used Discord in the past for their, you know, their private messages and everything, but that's the kind of thing I'd like to see more action taken on as well. And I said, you know, there is that bullet point, how we can combat hate on Discord, but I want to know what they're doing.
Right.
Or have they banned hate groups from using their platform?
I believe they have.
That's something I'm not, you know, entirely up on, but that's the kind of thing I want to see more of.
Yeah. That would be great to have some hard stats out of them to so they can show us, like, this is exactly what we've done. We know we have more work to do, but this is what we've done.
So I think one of the biggest goals in my mind for the tech industry in general, and not even just gaming, but like I said, for the tech industry overall, is to continue clamping down on this and forcing these fucking hate groups, that's what they are, to move on to these shitty knockoff clones whenever they get kicked off of a platform. Like, you know, like when all the white supremacists and the incel groups and all of those fucking went to vote instead of when Reddit started banning communities.
Right.
Like, let them go to these fucking cesspool, shitty, moderated, terrible platforms that only they want to use because they're not welcome anywhere.
Didn't you try vote for a minute, Keith?
I did, and it sucked ass. I thought it was gonna be it sucked ass. People were shit. You know, Reddit. I don't know. Reddit's a whole different story. I don't even know if we should get on that right now either.
We can focus on tech later.
But one company I do kind of want to put under the crosshairs right now for multiple things is Riot Games. Like, what the fuck, Riot Games is one of the big things I have to say, because they're developing some great games. They've made League of Legends a staple in esports. It is one of the biggest esports there is. They're creating a lot of new games. Valorant just got out on full release, and they have a massive following already. They have a few more games planned for their future, and yet more and more I'm hearing bad news about them, their policies, their people, what they do. The most recent one that I'm talking about is their former, now global head of consumer products, Ron Johnson, has resigned, probably forcefully, because of a tweet that he made that was he was sharing around this image that I've seen a lot of right-wing echo chambers sharing around about how shitty of a person George Floyd was. And rightfully, he got called out for it, because like he's using his voice for the wrong things.
Yeah, and it harkens back to, like, and I'm sure he was crying free speech the whole fucking time too.
Oh, guaranteed. And I'm glad Riot actually said, "Nah, that doesn't fly. You're gone." And like I said, I was probably forced into resigning. I doubt that he was just like, you know what, guys, my bad. I'll get
well."
Out
and
of
I'm not even against him for using his voice to stand up for what he believes in, but believe in better shit, dude. That, I mean, one, do we have any verification that George Floyd was on any substances during this entire fucking fiasco? I doubt the authenticity of every point in that shitty meme, and that's all it was some shit meme that he shared.
Yeah.
The problem is, who gives a shit if he was high on something? Like, that's exactly. Not a death sentence.
Or his, like, it, this meme that you're talking about lists off all of his priors and stuff like that, and that he did time for the, it's, well, yeah, he did time for them. These are all in the past. This has nothing to do with what happened to this man and what the explosion that it has created in society over it. Everything that has happened subsequently from this, the Black Lives Matter and the protests coming out, that they are all warranted. This, you cannot go back in time and say, well, he did this and this and this, and he used these drugs, and was he really that great of a guy? No, fuck that. Fuck all of that rhetoric. It doesn't fucking matter. That is not what we're talking about right now. And I don't get how these people don't understand that that is not what we are talking about.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's red herrings to distract from the real argument. And they're going to continue trying to do that as much as they can. Distract, distract, distract. Say some bullshit so that we stop talking about what the main point is.
And here's a statement that Riot has put out on Ron Johnson. The sentiment expressed in the image in question is aberrant and runs directly counter to our values and our belief that addressing systemic racism requires immediate societal change, something that we are committed to working towards. As we shared last week, Riot is taking thoughtful and deliberate action to help combat racism and injustice in the communities where we work and live. You know, after they said that, they donated $1 million to organizations focused on justice reform, long-term solutions to address racial bias, and they were also planning on creating more opportunities in the gaming industry by investing $10 million more in founders unrepresented and helping create a future pipeline of underrepresented talent for the gaming and tech world. So they're putting some money into this, but where the, I really got to share some of your skepticism overall in this, Spencer, is that Riot Games is not, this isn't their only infraction, and not just even the last year. They are currently still in a lawsuit over some very sexist things happening in their work environments, where they were asked to settle on a $10 million lawsuit recently in December of 2019. Two Riot employees, one former and one current, filed the suit in California Supreme Court. They filed it in 2018. It was just now getting settled on. They are accusing Riot of denying them equal pay and blocking their career advancements on the basis of gender. So, you know what, Riot? You can throw as much money as you want around. It doesn't make what you're doing go away. The people you're hiring, the actions you're taking as a company, your money doesn't silence that.
Well, and if the communities surrounding a game are any sort of reflection of the teams building that game, it isn't the player base for League of Legends like terribly toxic? Like one of the worst bases.
It's awful.
They're kind of famous for that, right?
Yeah. I mean, so is Overwatch, so is Call of Duty. You know, you get on some of these very competitive games and it is some of the worst scum you can come around. But yeah, League of Legends it's a trash community. I've met some great people. There's millions of people that play that game. I've met some people that are still friends of mine to this day through League of Legends. So not saying that everybody's a piece of shit, but most people that you encounter in that game are giant pieces of shit.
Well, is it that LOL players are pieces of shit or that people are pieces of shit?
That's deep, man.
That's all the way deep, all the way down.
On the sexism thing with Riot, they're looking at maybe costing themselves more money. The DFEH in California is saying that women at Riot could be entitled to more than $400 million in back pay because of these stances, these actions that Riot is taking within themselves. And, you know, one of the Riot spokesmen is calling this absurd, that $400 million is an absurd number. But, you know, you guys have been a company for a very long time. And if you have been underpaying women this whole time, I don't know how absurd that number really is. I would have to assume that it is thoroughly researched, and they will be going after them for that. I don't think this lawsuit is over by a long shot.
Yeah, and we could probably do an entire episode on sexism in the gaming industry as well, and maybe we should at some point. But yeah, it seemed like they were trying to foster this culture of, they want their company to be built by, you know, of hardcore gamers, you know, was kind of their
right.
their philosophy.
Competitive.
Competitive. They want people to understand, their developers and stuff to understand gaming and understand the gaming world and all of that. But in doing that, they built this very narrow worldview of what that means. And I think they wound up, again, I don't even know if it was conscious or unconscious, but they built this culture of exclusion.
Right. You know, we're, like you said, we could probably do a whole episode. Maybe we will do a whole episode on sexism in gaming, because I think that also needs to be addressed. But I bring up that point mostly because I think there's still women within Riot that are feeling the repercussions of their choices as a company. So them coming out and saying these things about racism and what they're doing to combat it and stuff, and them throwing some of their millions around, I gotta say, it's just kind of a face that, like, they are trying to save face in the wake of, oh shit, one of our guys got called out. You know, who knows if they would have ever done anything had Ron Johnson not gone on Twitter and said some racist shit.
Right. Why does it take something like this to do the right thing?
Right. Yeah. On that front, I am a lot more skeptical about what Riot is actually going to do in the long run against this, or if they're just going to throw these few millions of dollars at it and just kind of hope it all gets swept under the rug and they can go on and get called out for the next shitty thing that they do.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
All right, moving on from Riot, because that one really does touch a soft spot of me, because I do love Riot games, and it pisses me off that they're such a shit company. Or they've become, maybe they were the whole time, but a lot of my favorite gaming companies are turning out to be the shittiest ones around: Blizzard, Activision, Riot, you know, Bethesda. There's a lot of nasty shit coming about with some of these big time companies that have created some
feels
of my
like
favorite
shit-itis
games.
Shit-itis is going around.
Yeah. And it really fucking sucks. And I've got some notes here about diversity within developers that we can move on to now as well. You know, we talked about, you brought it up, David, about the game we were talking about last week. What was that called?
Little Devil Inside, yeah.
The Little Devil Inside. And how the caricatures of these racial images that they put onto some actual characters of theirs. I'm wondering if it's a bunch of white guys sitting around in their coding room and not really looking at it in that way. Because I've got some figures here in front of me again about how diverse some of these developers really are. This is from a International Game Developers Association 2019 survey. The majority identified as white, Caucasian, or European at 81%. Respondents were able to select up to three options for this question. So after taking all that into account, the people that only selected white, Caucasian, European, that dropped down to 69%, which is just still overwhelmingly large. Hispanic was at 7%. Aboriginal, Indigenous, Pacific Islanders was at 5%. Chinese and Southeast Asian were at 4%. And when all grouped together, East, South, and Southeast Asian was at 10%. And then at Black, African-American, African, or Afro-Caribbean, that came up as a 2% of the respondents. So, you know, maybe we are looking at a major lack of diversity within these companies. I don't know if there just aren't the people around, if there is that type of systemic racism within these companies. I really don't know what that means, but that is something that needs to change.
Yeah, that's another big issue. Like I said, the less diverse your employee base is, then the less diverse your game is going to be.
Right. And in a time where we are seeing more diverse games come out, where you are able to pick your race or pick your sex or do some of this stuff, but then it comes down to what these companies are going to do to stop the people, you know, stop these people from being racist within the game as well. One example I could think of is a lot of people playing Red Dead Redemption 2 online that have chosen to be a black character in the game are facing some terrible racism just in like role playing. It's awful to see. So as we're given these more diverse options within gaming, it's just feeding back into that community aspect of how shitty the community can be to each other.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I don't even know where else to go from here other than I'm really hoping this is the low point of the industry and that, you know, things get better with all the pressure that's come about, especially just in the past few weeks.
Yeah, and I agree with you too. I know this has been a pretty heavy episode, especially for us. So,
somebody tell a joke.
But I just feel like this had to be addressed. You know, it's happening in so many games and so many companies. It's a big part of our lives to play these games and to be part of these communities. And it had to be addressed. We can't go without saying some of these things. And I'm really, really hoping, like you said, this is the low point for us in gaming and we can only go up from here.
Well, and I think it is the least that we can do is to say, hey, I see this, that, and it's bullshit. It is kind of literally the least that we can do about these very critical issues that affect all of us.
Well, and us as a community, we can speak with our voices, obviously, but we can also speak with our wallets. These people are selling you a product. If that product goes against your beliefs, if the community is harmful to you and your mental state, then speak with your wallet. You know, that's what these guys really do care about is that cash money coming out of your wallet into their bank account. Really hit them where it hurts, because if they're not going to take the actions within the community's taking action. I hear people rising up about it all the time. I'm hitting that mute button. I'm hitting that report button constantly. Let's take it to their doorstep. These companies have to do something. And if that means we stop buying their games, then I think that's something we have to do. You can't just give in.
Yeah,
you can't just give in and buy a game where you're going to be harassed and be a victim of a lot of this bullshit in good conscience. You can't give away your money for that. Not just the $60 price tag, but the battle passes and this and this and this. Everything that they're charging you for, you need to look at that and say, is it worth it to be a part of this toxic community?
Agreed. Yeah. There's no point in spending my money on something that supports a cause I don't believe in.
Yep.
or won't support a cause I do believe in. Yeah.
I don't know what else we can say. I mean, I could say a whole lot of other things, but I've gone through my whole page of all my notes and I could have put together probably another 10 pages of notes for us on this topic alone. I know there's a lot we didn't touch on, but you know, we've got to do our part in the smallest way we can or the biggest way we can.
I hope we illuminate what we can speak on knowledgeably. And, you know, like I said, we're just three guys. We're all speaking from places of privilege. It'd be nice to hear from other members of the community who are more affected by this than we are.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I've got some good friends that and family that are directly affected by this. So join in the conversation on our Discord. We've got that up and running. You can find it in the descriptions on our podcast through our podcast network. Join in the discussion there. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Jesus1Up. That's HEZOOS, the number 1UP. Where are you guys at on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Spencer_3G1Up.
And I am at Spergling. Sperglling.
And I think with that, we'll go ahead and sign out. And like I said, just use your voice, use your wallets, join in our conversation or any conversation that you can find, and make it heard that this is not acceptable within the gaming community. We gotta do away with this. And we'll catch all of you guys next week.
Bye.
Bitch.
Get the fuck out.